This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 482. On the podcast today, I have Executive Chairman of Union Jack Oil at UJL, David Bramhill, discusses their final results and other developments at the company. And it's nice to hear, small company cashed up, looking for acquisitions. And I also asked David, give us 3 reasons why an investor should put you on their Vox Markets watch list. So listen to what David has to say. If you like, just click follow. And UJO is the ticker, by the way. Also on the podcast, Doc Holliday talks about Union Jack Oil, Ariane Silver, Metal Tiger, Connemara, Sylvania Platinum, Andlas, and Keffi Minerals. And today's stock with potential. As suggested by a listener to the podcast, Mark, thanks for getting involved, Mark. And by all means, if you know of a stock with potential, come here to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, click one of my blogs there, and you'll see the link. It takes 5 minutes to fill out the form, and I could be mentioning that stock, giving it massive exposure in the small cap arena over the next few days. And that is Nkondezi Energy. That's NCCL. And I also read out... I dedicate this podcast to someone who gave me a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. And that is under the username of Esirk. Esirk. I think. Anyway, thank you for the rating and review. I'll read it out later.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Executive Chairman of Union Jack Oil. That's UJO ticker. It's David Bramhill. Thank you for coming on, David.
Thanks for asking me. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, I know about Union Jack Oil. I held shares a while back, and then all of a sudden the oil price tanked, and I started getting a bit scared of oil shares, and so I pulled back my investment. But I know a little bit about Union Jack Oil. But, David, for anyone listening who's not heard about you guys, could you give us a brief overview of what you do?
Yes, of course. We're effectively an onshore UK exploration and production company, and we take stakes in wells that have been drilled very, very late stage. So rather than pick up a license, which would be the traditional way of doing things, and waiting 5 years to get planning permission, be able to drill, we latch on. We know most of the onshore players in the UK, and we take an interest late stage in a well and drill. And so far, so good. We've had a dry hole, and we've also had a very, very, very major discovery up at Wrestle in Lincolnshire, which is hopefully coming into production at H2. All the work is being done by Egdon, the operators, to bring this into production with all the paperwork for the OGA, the Oil and Gas Authority, and every other authority that would take part in this. And we're really, really excited about it all. It looks like it'll be our pretty, pretty good production for the company when it happens.
Yeah, and so at the moment, your market cap is around 4.3 million, it's showing. So how many stakes do you have, David, in interest in companies
there? We've got six, we're looking for more. We actually came out with our results this morning. If you see in my statement, I said we're going to be expanding in other parts of the United Kingdom, and that's the plan. We're up in the north at the moment, and we would like to go south, because there's some pretty rich pickings, in our opinion, at the moment down there. Especially with the Horse Hill discovery, not that we're involved in that, but it demonstrates that there is a lot of oil around and still in the UK to be found.
Yeah, and you have cash. And one of the questions I always get when I get small exploration companies on, or companies like yourselves, is, from investors, is, do you need to raise money? And I'm looking at your final results, and I'm assuming, what, 2.6 million you've got. You probably don't need to go to the market, do you?
Not at the moment, no. We're pretty well cashed up. But like all companies, they need money to survive. Now, luckily, and prudently, we're pretty good with cash. We don't spend, we're not high salaries, we're not a lifestyle company. We're very, very, we've got a series of good advisors behind us, backing us. And yeah, the money we've got at the moment is enough for what we plan to do in the future.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't need cash, you haven't got any debt. And so what's the priority at the moment then, David?
Priority is to bring Wrestle into production and ensure cash flow, which ensures the financial future of the company, and also to bring some new deals into the company as well, which will stand a good chance of finding oil.
Okay, and Wrestle, for example, do you know the type of cash flow you're talking about there? How much will be coming in?
Sounds a silly answer, but it depends on the oil price, and anyone can work this out. We've got 8.33%, and the plan is to be producing 500 barrels a day. So if you multiply that by the oil price, and it's very, very inexpensive, like even at $28, which was a low back in February, you'd still be making money out of that. So anyone can do the mathematics on that one and find out it's a pretty lucrative stake for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that will be, what you're saying, is it H2 or H3 this year?
No, H2. That's the plan, H2.
Yeah, sorry, there isn't an H3. I mean, Q3. There's a long year this year. It's three halves. Okay, so that's coming soon. All right, and then after that, what's next? Are you, is there something else in the pipeline there?
We've got six projects and another three or four wells in the pipeline to drill, and hopefully we can conclude some deals which we've been sort of announced this morning. We would be looking at new deals, so the focus is to get those all signed up and ready to RNS.
Okay, well, listen, about 5 minutes before I came on with you, I did send out a quick message and saying, anyone got any questions? And it was a bit late on my behalf, but someone's tweeted me a question quickly. He says, with the decline in the OP, how do you see this in presenting potential acquisitions? And also, what are the plans for Wrestle 1 given the length of testing today? Or to date?
Oh, well, Wrestle 1 is well documented, and the plans are effectively, the testing is done. That was completed, middle of last year. So effectively now what we're doing is getting the field development plan up together, putting it in, getting all the permissions, and then we start production with a fair wind this year.
Okay.
The first question, please?
This is also, what are the plans for Wrestle 1 given the length of testing to date?
Yeah, I've answered that one. What was the first one?
With the decline in the OP, how do you see this in presenting potential acquisitions?
Actually, onshore UK is very, very low cost, and this is why we've chosen to go onshore UK. We've been involved as a team with various companies. Oil Quest was one company, and the average oil price then was $52. Costs have come down a lot since then, and as I mentioned earlier, $28, okay, not the best price in the world, but you could certainly make money from that. So the oil price, really, we've been, because of the low cost onshore UK, we've been insulated a lot from that, to be honest with you. Hope that answers the gentleman or lady's question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and when you're looking for a new acquisition or to buy into a resource there, what do you actually look at? What's the matter? Obviously, you have to look at cost of production, I suppose. But are there other things you look at specifically? A checklist?
Cost of production is normally about the same. You'd be looking between $15 for some fields and $30 max for others in the onshore UK. But the main thing is risk and reward. A, how much oil could we potentially get out of a well for a percentage? And what would be the geological chance of success? In some cases, it'd be 5-1, 4-1, 3-1. I've even known 2-1. So you put the whole lot in the mix. And also, as the operator, Are they good operators? Have they had a success rate? Are they transparent? Which we've been really, really lucky with Egdon, which are our partners and main operator, you know, with transparency in the way that the whole production team and the partners work together. You know, a lot of people would be envious of that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And can I ask, this is probably a stupid question because I'm pretty naive in this sense, but I mean, when you've you know, produced a barrel of oil there, I mean, I assume there's no problem selling it, is there?
Goodness gracious, no, it's easy. We, Graham Bull, my technical director, myself, we went up to wrestle on the testing. There are all tanks there. The pump goes up and down. The oil goes in the tank. When the tank gets filled up, oil tanker comes along, takes it away, and we get paid for it within a month. Or our share of it, anyway.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
It's really very technical at all. It's a good business, but what you need is a discovery.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Marvel. So, what, you know, significant bit of a view news coming out can we expect? Obviously, no specifics you can give, but I mean, timeline-wise, when can we sort of expect this, David? Is it like next 3 months or 6 months or what?
Well, I think, again, to revert back to my chairman's statement, we've got, you know, over the next year, a lot of news flow, cash flow, and most important, no debt. And we don't intend to be in debt either. And that would be the three plus points for our company. But there always remains risk, as everyone knows.
Okay, well, let's just go over those again. For anyone, you're listening to David here from Union Jack Oil, and if we were to try and convince someone to put Union Jack Oil on their watch list, David, so give us those 3 points.
Well, I think news flow, cash flow, and the fact we're not in debt, no debt.
Okay, marvellous. David, it's lovely to speak to you. And listen, like you said, you've got a lot of news flow coming out, so please come on and talk to me again when you release that.
I'd be delighted.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is small cap authority and investor Doc Holliday. You're right, Doc.
Hello, mate. How are you? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. And last time we spoke, obviously you're always dabbling a little bit, but you were a lot sitting on cash in your portfolio. Is that still the same way? You're still sitting on quite a bit of cash?
Yeah, absolutely. I took a decision at the end of last year that I would move to a heavy cash position. I guess at one point I started to re-enter a reasonable amount of that, but I think it was no more so than the about 20% of my cash pot that I actually put back into the market. But having said that, you know, that wasn't planned. There's been a few good things that have gone on. You know, there's been naturally a couple of disappointments, but you know, on the whole, Aletco had a good run. That was one that obviously presented a substantial profit. Ferrum Crescent last week, and even so today, has had a good run. So you know, the mining stocks have done well. I've increased my holding in Ariane Silver, a company I've spoke quite a lot about, so I won't touch on that too much. But whilst disappointed in the additional fundraise that Jim did after suggesting that the company were well financed, it transpires that the business now are looking to take on a much bigger and larger option out in Mexico, and that could well explain the need for additional capital. And I guess we're in a market where silver's trading now at $17.50. I think when we first started chatting, it was $13-14. So seeing quite a rise in the price of silver. Forecasts suggest that gold and silver will go higher. I also believe in that. So, yeah, I mean, you know, things like this, you've got to, when the opportunities present themselves, you've got to take it. And for me, it was a case of increasing my position by a little bit at 0.93, and I think that's a good entry on that one, you know.
Yeah. And I just had on the podcast actually, and after the record, I mentioned you because you introduced me to them a while back. Was David Bramhill from Union Jack Oil. Now, what's your take on that? I mean, do you still hold stock in Union Jack?
Yeah, I've got an outstanding legacy position in Union Jack. It become one of those companies that was scaled back quite aggressively. Back at the end of last year, there were a number of reasons that I did that, and there were quite a lot of companies that fell foul of it. I'm not kind of I wouldn't say I'd be in a hurry to be running out there to buy Union Jack or a whole other host of companies. But if I was to be looking to buy some really tiny microcap oil and gas stocks, it would be certainly one that I would take a look at, because I think at the current level, with the cash balance that Union Jack have got, and the fact that Dave's seemingly now quite a robust character, you can see that, you know, he stays well cashed up, he makes sure he's got more than he needs. They've got some interesting opportunities unfolding with business that they've been doing with Egdon Resources. And, you know, I think, again, in that oil space, there's a lot of companies going to the wall, and, you know, there's just such a lot of good opportunities out there. I think when you look at the even the inventories that companies have carried with kit, you know, there's a lot of kit out there that's cheap. Rig hire's cheap, you know, workforces are cheap, assets are cheap, if not, you know, next to giving them away. So you can see where the opportunities present themselves. And I think, you know, David is very much in a strong position moving forward. And, you know, let's look at the business that we've seen with other popular companies in the UK onshore. You know, you've had the whole Horse Hill kind of situation unfold that's naturally pegged UK oil exploration production back on the map. You go and look at recent acquisitions from Metal Tiger, Conroy Gold, Connemara Mining, it's Northern Ireland resource. So people are starting to look a bit closer to home, and I think the reason for that is just simply down to the fact that we're living in such a kind of uncertain world right now, and people are looking for something a little bit safer. And I think onshore production, whether it be mining or oil and gas, and I think, you know, with the geographic kind of certainties and decent governments to work alongside, I think people are attracted to that, and we're seeing it with where people are prepared to invest.
Yeah, and you know, Dave did say, like I said, the financial results throughout the day, 2.6 million in cash at the end of the 30th of April, I think it was. And yeah, and he said that they're very careful over that, you know. He states quite clearly he's not a lifestyle business. They're looking to get good assets at good prices, and so they're very careful with their cash. Anything else you're looking at that you're holding at the moment that you think could present some upside in the near future?
Absolutely. There's a lot of things. I mean, there's obviously the Mad Stork was on your show talking about Sylvia. Sylvania. Yeah. Platinum. And I think, you know, if that one can convincingly get above 7p and you start to see a move on that, that could be a pretty decent signal. A lot of volume's gone through this, and we've only kind of seen a small amount come off the institutions that were existing holders of the company. It begs the question, where's that black hole? You know, where's all of the cash going to? You know, you could speculate that there's a number of different eventualities there. For me, I think buying it convincingly over that 725 area, that might be the big point.
Yeah, well, you know what? I did buy some last week on Friday, I think it was, and I thought I put a limit order in it, tripped it, and nicely, it's up like almost 11% today, and it's just above that. It's a lot of range there, isn't it, in the stock? It ranges a lot, but I mean, it's now up to 7.6, and so hopefully maybe going a tick upwards, you know? So
To be honest, Justin, when I last looked in on it, it was, I think it was about 7.25, 7.31 or something like that. But so if it's at 7.6 now, and apologies for not being up to speed with the price right now, if that's the case, you know, a decent finish today, if you can kind of maintain it tomorrow, even at this same level, that would be a really bullish sign, and that could well be the move where you start to see this really break out and take off, because it has been stuck at that range. It's soaked up a hell of a lot of volume. So to see that move on now, I think that would be a real big step in the right direction.
Yeah. Okay. And anything else you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I'm always looking at things. Naturally, I've got a big support for the guys at Andalas. I know that they're taking a lot of stick recently. We've seen kind of every different aspect of kind of market warfare in the junior space kind of play out with this one. There's a lot of people that have got sour grapes about the business for a number of reasons, but naturally it's always going to be down to the results. I'm a big advocate of management, as you know. I think Paul Warwick is an exceptional acquisition for the company. I think they've got a lot of different opportunities that will unfold now. The company are back trading. Give it another few days, let things settle down a little bit, and I think you're going to start to see things going in the right direction. I've continued to back the company, I've continued to buy the shares. It's one of the companies that I intend on holding, certainly throughout summer and towards the end of the year, and I've backed it in a pretty big way. You know, I'm holding more of that than any other stocks combined. So, you know, it's not just the case that, but you know, look, you know, we live by the sword, we die by the sword. ADL was a good returner, it paid really well. I always scale back off these positions. I always take a profit. Yes, I had I maintained a holding through suspension. Yes, I was disappointed at the fundraise, and I think there's some questions to be asked and answered. But overall, my own kind of understanding of the situation would suggest that buying at this level, knowing how much of the business has been working each and every day to try and set the record straight and get things moving, I think they're well and truly motivated to kind of get those blushes off their faces and get on with doing a job in hand.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm just looking at my portfolio here, and we just mentioned the highest riser of the day, which is now SLP at 10.9%. And the worst performer, which is Andlas, down 6.1%. So, you know. And Kefi had a nice little result that day, and it shot up. It's funny, you know, if you just wait a bit of patience, like today, for example, Kefi went up by like sort of 18-19% at one point, then came back and was down a couple of percentage points. Now it's back up 6%. So, I mean, you know, the stocks
are crazy. Obviously, the situation with Kefi is. That was a company that, you know, you and I had spoke about quite some time ago on your show. I've been a big kind of advocate of that. I was buying it at, I think it was 30, spot 30.08 and 33.08, somewhere around that area. So there was you know, my entry was around about that point. And obviously, as always, you know, you take a little bit off and you start to manage it as things start to unfold. But it's been another great little move in the market. They do need to satisfy the ongoing funding requirements for the business. The news today suggests that the Ethiopian government are prepared to stick $20 million towards it. So, you know, you've got a situation there where the country's own government backed schemes are prepared to get behind this. I don't think they're going to have any trouble getting their funding away. And I think this is going to be one of those ones that could really, really, really do well as time goes by. But naturally, it's up 100% or it's up, you know, 90% since a lot of people started to purchase it. And unfortunately, you know, people are always going to box clever, take a little bit off the table. And naturally, I'd say that's probably the right thing to do.
Yeah. Just looking at the biggest riser today on AIM, it's Union Jack Oil. Wow. Okay, that's it's nice to have David on.
Absolutely, and it's, you know, it would appear that a strong balance sheet sort of fortifies the future of a business that size, and given the, you know, the opportunities that are available within the marketplace, it isn't any wonder. The problem with Union Jack is they just don't get enough attention from the market. It's not that it's poorly run. Again, there's a few naysayers out there who'll always take an opportunity for a cheap shot. But naturally, I kind of asked myself this question, and I think listeners perhaps should ask themselves the same question too. If these people that are passing the comments on a day-to-day basis are not investing in this space, or they don't have any skill set or expertise in these junior, tiny, micro-cap markets, why are we even listening to them? Because it seems that there's a lot of people that give running commentary who come from an analytical background, who perhaps have worked in certain sectors, certain areas, but at much bigger levels than this, or they don't invest their own money and they just spend the day, you know, creating interest around stories. You know, if you're going to actually get sucked into that, then I think think, you know, you've got to question where you are in your education of investing in the junior markets and on AIM, because I think it's really important. If people are prepared to put the money where the mouth is, and you start to see that happen, Barron Trading's one of the greatest people out there for this. He puts his money up, he'll go and publish a contract note, and you know when that guy talks about a company, he's going to be putting everything into it. He'll go to the AGM, he'll contact the companies, he'll stick substantial amount of cash into it, and he's pretty transparent. They're the kind of guys you need to be following in the market, not these that are shot jocks out there who are just trying to make a bit of noise to create a bit of a name for themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? It's odd. I mean, I've, you know, been learning about the junior market for the last year, pretty much, and I know a heck of a lot more than I did when I started. And it's easy to make judgments because I was more in the bigger cap, you know, arena, and it's a completely different market, you know. And you know, there's so many things you can get tripped up on that you have to know about. And you're right. You can't just be, an investor in mid to large cap stocks and make comments on small cap stocks, because it's a completely different animal, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is, mate. I mean, you know, it's chalk and cheese in many respects, and I think in reality most people just don't give it the credit it's due, and that's sadly where people make mistakes when they come into the junior markets. They don't give it the respect it's due. They take too much on face value as well. You know, these junior markets, whilst they talk about it being an incubator for building companies, it's an incubator for kind of growing bullshit as well. You know, it seems to be that lots of people talk a lot of horse crap, and in reality will never ever deliver on any of it. There's only a few that ever will, so you've got to be able to, again, adjust your strategy, have a set of principles in place that are robust enough to keep you in the game, and again, you've got to understand that the lifespan of an investment, or certainly a trade in the junior market, can be a whole lot shorter than it perhaps would be if you were going after your Royal Dutch Shells or BPs of this world.
Yeah, exactly. Marvellous, Doc. Lovely to speak to you. Speak again soon, fella.
All right, mate. Take care. Thanks a lot. Cheers for your time.
Okay, today's penny stock with potential is suggested by Mark. Thanks for getting involved, Mark. And it's Enkondezi Energy. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's basically an N before the Kondezi Energy. NCCL is the ticker. What does the company do? It's the Enkondezi Project, a large thermal coal resource strategically located in Tete Province, Mozambique, which is capable of supporting a long-life open-pit mining and power plant operation. Oh, I see. A bit like Edenville and Kibo. A little bit of that. How many shares does the company have in issue? It's 250 million, right about there. What's the current price of market cap? This has changed since you submitted it. It's gone down a little bit. So it's 11.5 million market cap. Share price about 4.5 pence. How much cash or debt does the company have? Cash balance last reported on the 22nd of the 9th, 2015, as $0.9 million plus, and I've added this bit because I just saw this on the RNS, they've just agreed a $1.32 million shareholder loan, which leaves the company apparently fully funded until the end of Q3 2016 and the expected completion of the joint development agreement with the Shanghai Electric Power. So list three reasons why you think this company has potential. The development of the partner agreement with the Shanghai Electric Power Company Limited due to be signed by the 31st of May 2016, which could provide a major share price upside potential short term. Longer term, the coal supply alone for just the 300 megawatt with approximately 25 million profit per annum, plus increase power to apparently 1,800 megawatts. So originally, initially 300, then going up to 1,800. And number three, power supply deficit in Africa forecasted to get worse. So that's Enkondezi Energy, NCCL. Thank you for submitting that. And don't forget, please do your own research. This is just for the purposes of adding it to your watch list, and so you can do some more research on that. And this podcast is dedicated to the one, the only, ASERC, or ASERG. And the title of the iTunes review is Great Podcast, 5 stars. Thanks, Justin, for the informative podcast. Very helpful for a newbie like me, especially love the three reasons ideas. A good pointer to some companies I've never heard of, but worth adding to my research list. Keep them coming. And that's the point, you know. That's why I say this. Vox Market's a cracking little app. And what you do is free, download it. If you're on, you know, it doesn't matter, iPhone or Android, just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/app, download the app. and then you just type in the name or the ticker symbol of a company you've heard of and hit follow. It's like Facebook, you know, and as simple as that. And then you get, basically, it's on your watch list and you get RNSs sent to you as soon as the company releases it. So you're always up to date with the information and it keeps you in the loop research-wise. And then, of course, you can base your investment decisions on that research. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciator.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.